following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Plumbers, Waterworks, and HVAC pros, this is Coach Terry Bradshaw. Are you looking for a team that gets you the supplies you need?
Yeah.
Then you want Ferguson. You can order your materials online, then pick them up at your branch or have them delivered.
Yeah.
And with Ferguson Pro Plus, your online orders now earn points you can use to get cool stuff, electronics, sports gear, even trips. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Then check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.com.
For a limited time, score double points on all Renai products. Check out Ferguson.com/Pro Plus.
Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline is Ferrari's choice for improved performance. It removes an average of 60% of performance-robbing gunk on intake valves left by low-quality premium gasolines. And it starts with your very first tank. So you're not just filling up with over 60 years of Shell and Ferrari technology and innovation. You're also filling up with choose Shell V-Power and let the excitement.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along on the program today. Going to give you a chance to win some tickets from Kearney Raceway Park. Man, that's good. That's some good stuff. That is good stuff. You can go watch the Husker game, and then you can head out to Kearney Raceway Park. And I'll admit, you know, NASCAR and this are totally different to me. But when you got sprint cars and funny cars and man, that's going to be some outstanding action going out there for the Cornhusker Fall Classic. You can catch them both. There's a lot going on this weekend, and hopefully it'll be a good time. We'll give you a chance to win tickets to that. Coming up on the show, we've got a pretty full show. A lot of football talk, but not all football talk today. Of course, Luke Hoover of RotoWire will be with us in the last segment to answer your fantasy football questions. So be sure to get those in to us, whether you want to email them to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Maybe you want to tweet them at ESPN1460-1550. Or you can Facebook them to us. And, of course, if you like us on Facebook, it's ESPN Superstation is the keyword. And like us there, you can send those in. You can also give us a call, which you'll probably need to do for the tickets, at 888-455-ESPN. Anything on your mind, do it. 888-455-3776. Mike Carman of the Lafayette Journal Courier will join us to talk Purdue football in the next segment. And then at the bottom of the hour, we will talk with Chuck Long, the former Iowa quarterback, now Big Ten Network analyst. He'll be in the booth with Kevin Kugler calling the Nebraska-Purdue game. We'll talk a little bit about that and the rest of the Big Ten action. A lot of the Big Ten teams off this week, kind of a quiet week in the Big Ten, especially for those that may have played that opening week. They kind of slide this in as their bye week. So you got a bye for Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Ohio State. They are all off this week. Couple of stories out there, and we were discussing this here in the office earlier today. I'm going to throw them out there and I guess get your reaction. One, is that we've talked a little bit about Tom Osborne being on the college football panel for the playoff selection committee next year. We've heard Condoleezza Rice, and we've heard Ty Willingham. We've had Archie Manning. There's all kinds of different people on there, some that you've never heard of. They're commissioners or they're former NCAA presidents and vice presidents. So what do you think? Is Tom Osborne one of the right people to have on the college football playoff selection committee? And secondly, I got this email, not to the show, but to me personally, from about three or four different places altogether here over the last 24 hours. And it started from a group, and maybe you get these emails, Nebraska Watchdog. And I didn't think it was such a big deal until I started getting more emails and more texts and all this about University of Nebraska employees at UNK, UNO, of course, obviously at the University of Nebraska, and coaches. And it just kind of tells you what kind of car is provided to them, what kind of vehicle, and where they have either a country club membership or a gym membership or a racket club membership. And to me, that just, I didn't even see that as a big deal, as a story. Some people, apparently, Nebraska Watchdog, thinking that you got to be careful where the funds are filtered through. And I guess I just on the hoof, I just said, what? Well, you know, kind of passed it over. But then I got it again, and read over the story. I mean, we all know that the coaches get vehicles and country club memberships or gym memberships, don't we? Do you have a problem with any of this? I guess that's my question to you. Is this even a story? Maybe it is. I mean, sometimes what's important to one person is not important to the other. And so just a couple of different topics to throw out there at the top of the show. If you've got a comment on either one or anything else that we haven't brought up, feel free to join us. Give us a buzz, 888-455-3776. That's 888-455-ESPN. Email, Facebook, tweet us as well. Major League Baseball playoffs, the St. Louis Cardinals, they find a way to do it again, and they did it in pretty dominating fashion. I do want to bring this part up on a sort of lighthearted note, but while I was watching that baseball game last night, and maybe this is just a little bit of the elderness in me coming along here, but I'll bring in producer Jeff here, who's younger. What are we now, 23?
Yes, sir.
23, okay. So I've been around twice as long as you. Here's the deal. It seems like in this day and age in sports, and I'm not talking about celebrating a touchdown or coming up with something over the top, you know, T.O. keeping a pen in his pocket so that when he does score, he can bring it out and sign the football. But a tipping of the cap in baseball used to be after one of the greatest moments of maybe not even of the year of your career. But last night, what was it, 3-1? And Matt Adams, Freeze had already hit a two-run home run. Matt Adams. Okay, first off, who? Matt Adams hits a two-run home run in St. Louis, makes it 5-1 in what, the eighth inning? And he's got to come out for a curtain call. What? You hit a home run for a team that was already leading in the National League Division Series. Woohoo! Whee! Yay for you! Woo! Tips of the hat happened in the World Series when Cal Ripken breaks the Iron Man streak. Wow, it's game 37 of the year, and you hit a three-run home run to take the lead 8-0 in the fourth inning. You don't come out and tip your cap for that. It's lost its meaning, is I guess my point. It's just totally lost its meaning. It's now not a sign of a great accomplishment. It's not a sign of a great accomplishment when you come out of the dugout and tip your cap anymore, because everybody does it and they do it for every little thing. So I have now put the tipping of the cap as one of those things when I grew up, when somebody came out and tipped their cap, or when the crowd had them respond. I mean, just because the crowd's going nuts and calling your name doesn't mean you have to come out and tip your cap. The player ought to know the sense of the moment as well. So it struck me last night while I was watching that Cardinals-Pirates game. I'm going, what is he doing? Okay, yeah, you hit a home run. Big whoop. Big whoop. You didn't hit a home run to take the lead in Game 7 in the eighth inning of the World Series. you hit a home run with your team in the lead and the game secured in the National League Division Series. Big whoop. Big whoop.
Big whoop. I didn't like it either.
I quit it. Just quit it. But big game tonight, Jeffrey. Big game tonight.
Oakland-Detroit.
I need Detroit.
Yeah, you do.
I need Detroit. They came through last time, and Oakland is taking a chance here, sending out this – he's a rookie, right?
Right.
Sending out this rookie that nobody's ever heard of either with Sonny Gray, but had an outstanding performance in Game 2. Verlander and Gray, they went against each other in Game 2, and Oakland won it 1-0 when they got into the relief pitching of that baseball game. So hoping Detroit wins tonight because, as folks know, I had the Dodgers and Detroit in the World Series, and if Detroit wins – I got half the Final Four, and that's come on. I don't know. Going for the Super Bowl World Series doubleheader, which has never happened in the history of the world.
I hope you are right, because if you are, I'm going to Vegas with your next.
No, don't ruin your career. Don't put everything in shambles, Jeffrey. Don't do that at all. Don't do that at all. Scott and Carney said David Freese did it in the second inning on the 2-run homer to put them up 2-0. Yeah, I could even see that just a tad bit more than what Adams did, because you did get beat to force the game 5, and you do get the early momentum. But come on, there is Mariano Rivera tipping the hat coming out of his last game, and then there's what I saw last night. Ugh. Going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, folks, as you get ready for lunch on this noon hour. It's a Thursday. Check them out at the Chicken Coop in Kearney, 2515 Avenue A. If you are looking for a great lunch, they've got specials for you every single day of the week. And, of course, every night they've got something going on, whether you want to go in and watch the college football tonight with Louisville Rutgers, the NFL with the Bears Giants, the baseball with Oakland Detroit. There's always something going on. Plus, you can play Keno, enjoy your favorite beverage, and, of course, it's all in the relaxing environment, family friendly, such a great menu. Everything from chicken to steaks to salads, burgers, pizza, it's all there for you at the Chicken Coop. Family fun, drinks and food. They've got the pool tables. You can play darts, foosball. They've got arcade games, whatever it is for you to sit back, relax, and enjoy your favorite sports. The Chicken Coop, 2115 Avenue A in Kearney.
Are you serious about maximizing muscle growth, boosting strength, and optimizing hormones so you can get noticed in the gym? Well, you asked, and Complete Nutrition listened. Introducing the new L3 Anabolic Stack. L3 is the best new muscle-building supplement stack on the planet. If you want to jack up testosterone levels 42% in as little as 12 days, all while packing on tons of muscle and raising growth hormone levels so you can be the man you never thought you'd be, stop by a Complete Nutrition store today and find out how the new L3 series is changing the muscle building game for men.
Complete Nutrition.
Warning, if you put on more than 15 pounds of muscle in the first 4 weeks, please visit your personal health consultant to adjust your dosage.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Hi, I'm Mike Greenberg. Tired of your allergy symptoms interfering with your life? Try Allegra. Only Allegra is both fast and non-drowsy. It starts working in just 1 hour and keeps working for 24 hours to relieve your toughest symptoms, like sneezing, runny nose, and itchy, watery eyes, even on the toughest pollen days. So stop suffering and start living with Allegra. Applies to first dose only. Among OTC-branded antihistamines, use as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
Now at the Home Depot, Behr Premium Plus Interior Paint starts at just $23.46 a gallon. So, let's dial up the caliber of our paint project. Roll on top-rated color and count on easy cover-up. Let's spend far less coin and get way more style. Let's do this. Behr Premium Plus Interior Paint starts at just $23.46 a gallon. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for...
Thursday night, it's the Big Apple versus the Windy City as the New York Giants pay a visit to Chicago to take on the Bears. Hi, this is Ian Eagle of Westwood One. Join Boomer Esiason and me from the Subway broadcast booth at Soldier Field for all the action. Can Jay Cutler and the Bears defend their home turf? Or will Eli Manning lead the Giants to victory? Tune in to find out. If it's Thursday Night Football, it's right here.
On Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. Might see a shower or thunderstorm late in the day. Highs near 80. South winds at 12 to 25. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, partly to mostly cloudy. A low cooling towards 53.
Right now, 66.
I got my first real six string.
Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Gooden with you on this Thursday. Coming up for the next half hour, Chuck Long of the Big Ten Network, former Iowa quarterback, will join us. Plus, we'll answer your fantasy football questions with Luke Hoover of RotoWire here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Right now, though, let's get you ready for Nebraska-Purdue, and we welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show from the Lafayette Journal-Courier. Mike Carman joins us. And, Mike, great to catch up with you again. How are you this morning?
Fine. How are you guys?
Well, doing good. And I want to get your sense. I know we joked around a little bit before we even went to Chicago and talked about Purdue football. But as you look at things right now, and I don't want to overstate it, but I want to see where you sit right now. Is Purdue 12th in the Big Ten as far as football?
Yeah. they'd have to be based on the first five games. How it's played out for them, you know, back-to-back 31-point losses, really no great offensive production, except, you know, some meaningless yards against Northern Illinois. So, yeah, they would be last right now.
And obviously Coach Hazel has decided to make changes. That is the biggest thing that it seems like that we're noticing here. They're going to go with the true freshman quarterback. It'll be a battle of youngsters on Saturday with Armstrong for Nebraska. Tell us about why the change and a little bit about what we should find out from Danny Etling.
Well, the change was made because the offense just had not proven to be a consistent unit. Plus, in the Northern Illinois game, Rob Henry had three first-half turnovers, one fumbled snap, and two interceptions that, you know, potentially took points off the board. And the one thing that you'll find with Darryl Hazel, and most coaches are like this, they just cringe at turnovers. And he's made it clear from day one that he wants his quarterback to take care of the ball. And when they don't, there'll probably be a change, especially when it's coming from a fifth-year senior quarterback. Now, with Etling, you're going to find a quarterback that is probably more typical of what you're used to seeing from Purdue. He's not in any way in the class of a Drew Brees or Kyle Orton or the quarterbacks that have been here in the past. Now, he has the potential to get to that point, but you're going to see him throw the ball, you know, all over the field. Defenses will have to defend the entire field from sideline to sideline, and Purdue now has it more, you know, they're able to throw the ball deep now, as opposed to when Henry was the quarterback. So, you know, it'll be the same offense. Just they'll be running different plays out of it, and they'll be able to do some different things than what they did the first five games.
This would be tough for anybody, I would think, let alone a team that has been struggling offensively. But they did get a bye week. What's Coach Hazel said about his work here in the last 2 weeks?
They've really ramped up the evaluation of where they were at after the five games. And with that, you know, I don't think there was any question that Etling was going to be the quarterback moving forward after he played in the second half. It just, they had to make the announcement. But, you know, they claim they've looked at everything from A to Z in their program. And, you know, they're probably going to take some red shirts off some freshmen on the defensive line and get them in the rotation. None of those guys will start, but, you know, don't be surprised to see some young players out there on Saturday as they try to move this program forward. And while the attention is still on 2013, there's an eye toward 2014 with this coaching staff as they get ready to get this thing going next year.
11 turnovers, kind of what we were talking about there. Most of those came against Cincinnati and Northern Illinois. Take me back to the Notre Dame game. That seems to be their best performance. What did they do well that they hope to find again magically here in their next couple of games?
Well, defensively, they stopped the run. You know, the linebackers played downhill. They filled the gaps nicely. They didn't let Notre Dame really get anything going on the ground. That, you know, defensively, that's been their best performance. You know, offensively, you know, they executed well. Henry was poised in the pocket, used his legs a little bit more. They didn't have as many pre-snap penalties. They had the one turnover, which was costly. It was a pick six. But, you know, they did things that you thought that they would maybe do earlier in the year. And, you know, and after the Notre Dame game, it's like, okay, where do they go from here? And when they struggled again against Wisconsin the next week, especially on the offensive side of the ball, you kind of knew that the leash was going to be short on, you know, on Henry and the quarterback situation. It's just a matter of, at that point, it almost became a matter of when he would make the change.
We're talking with Mike Carmen. He is covering Purdue football for the Lafayette Journal and Courier. We had Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star beat writer, in for our Husker lunch yesterday. And in Nebraska, there doesn't seem to be a lot of buzz, and I don't think that's disrespect for Purdue, even though, as we talked about, it's not like this is a top 25 matchup. But for Nebraska, this is one of those games that could definitely lull you to sleep. This is about a five-week period where they're not taking on the toughest teams. They had the quarterback change. It's the first road game. You look at the point spread, it's only 14. Is there something surprising here? Could Purdue catch Nebraska napping a little bit?
You know, potentially. You know, Nebraska's defense, as you guys know, hasn't been the greatest, although I think they're playing a little bit better than they have since the UCLA meltdown. You know, and their strength right now is in the secondary, and they've been able to create a lot of turnovers in the secondary. You know, Purdue can move the ball on them and get ahead early in the game, maybe create an early turnover or get a big play. You know, it is Nebraska's first road game. And it's a new environment for some of these players, although it won't be an intimidating atmosphere, but you're just in new surroundings. And it might, you know, it might shake them a little bit early. But, you know, if they stick to their basics, which has become running the ball and letting their quarterback, you know, do the things that, you know, he's capable of doing, then they should be in good shape. But, you know, this is why we play the games. You know, Purdue has been practicing all week preparing for this. So, you know, it's really not surprising what happened each Saturday. But going in, you know, if the teams are even, you know, Nebraska should win.
Well, Mike, let me ask you this. For the Husker fans that will travel out there, what kind of an atmosphere should they expect to see?
It'll be a festive atmosphere. I mean, I think a lot of Purdue fans are going to come not only to see their team, but also see Nebraska. I mean, Nebraska hasn't been here since 1958. So, and this is their first trip as a Big Ten team. So there's an appeal coming. There's an appeal from the other teams. Like, this is a program we haven't seen in our stadium. And, I think there'll be a nice crowd on hand. You know, obviously there'll be a lot of Nebraska fans here. And I was working on a story. I talked to a few of them from Nebraska, and they're putting together a story tomorrow just on what they expect from Purdue and just, you know, the fan base in general. You know, Purdue fans will be into it, and it should be, you know, a fun atmosphere. The weather's going to be great. It should just be, you know, a pretty good day. And I know, you know, it has the potential to be a good game, but, you know, we'll just see how that all plays out.
Another couple minutes here with Mike Carmen of the Lafayette Journal-Courier on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Punter Corey Webster could be maybe the top player on the team right now. He is, for as much as he's had to punt, he has been very consistent. How key could he be in a game like this?
Well, it's key if Purdue doesn't move the ball. I mean, they got a flip field position. The fact that he's punted 27 times, which is the most of any punter in the Big Ten, tells you where Purdue's offense has been the first five games. And I don't think Purdue fans really want to see him on the field. They'd rather see Etling and the offense move the ball and, you know, get the end zone. But he's a good weapon to have because he can flip field position in a hurry. I think the punt team in general ranks in the top five in the nation in net punting. So they've been able to cover punts really well too. So, you know, it's a weapon to have when you're struggling on offense as Purdue is. But, you know, and he's had the potential to boom some long ones too. He's got a real strong leg, and, you know, I think next year he'll be in an NFL camp, hoping to get a shot at the league.
And, Mike, we touched on it, I guess, a follow-up question from earlier. Nebraska fans and Nebraska media that cover the Huskers every single day expect Purdue to move the ball, but they haven't been able to run it at all. Is it just been the defense they've been going up against, or will this change at quarterback help that out?
You know, I think the change at quarterback will open up probably some new running lanes for them. But, you know, the bottom line is their offensive line hasn't been that great. You know, they have two small backs that they've relied on the first five games. They're better in space than they are between the tackles. And when you're matched up the same athletically, you know, the defense has a chance just to string those plays out. So the key is getting some of those running backs in space. You know, I don't expect a big uptick in the running game. You know, they've scored three rushing touchdowns this season, Purdue has. Two of them were by Rob Henry, who was a former quarterback, who's now a safety. And the other one was by a wide receiver, B.J. Kanoff, who's suspended for the next two games. So nobody that's going to play Saturday has scored a rushing touchdown for Purdue this season.
Wow. On paper, the numbers just they don't add up this week for Purdue. But I guess I'll finish it up with this, Mike. Do you like what Coach Hazel's doing? Does he have it pointed in the right direction, even though it's first half of the first season there at Purdue?
Yeah, I think he does. I think he's trying to change the mindset. He's trying to change the culture that has been here the last few years, where when Purdue teams got down in the past, it just, you know, things snowballed out of control, and that has happened this year. He has recognized it. I'm not sure he knew the severity of it until it happened in the first game at Cincinnati, and then maybe it happened again at Wisconsin, where things just got out of hand. You know, they have to be a little bit more mentally tough. That's hard to teach and coach. So that you have to go back to recruiting and, you know, making sure you're picking the right guys to come to your place that's going to withstand some of those tough times, because, you know, every season is full of adversity, and you have to battle it. You have to figure out what to do. I think this team is starting to learn it, but until something good happens after they have some of that adversity, it's still going to be an uphill climb for them.
Well, Mike, we sure appreciate you giving us some time again here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Great chatting with you, and we can't wait for that Saturday morning contest. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Take care, Mike Carman. You can check him out online as well, Lafayette Journal and Courier. Great articles up there every day following Purdue, getting ready for Nebraska this week. And today, his story talks a little bit about Randy Gregory going up against one of his old college teammates at Devin Smith, both out of Arizona Western Community College, talks about that. And then breaks down the game from both sides just a little bit, so you can check that out as well online. For the Lafayette Journal and Courier. Coming up, Chuck Long, Big Ten Network, is going to join us. You got any Iowa jokes? Be sure to forward those to us. Doug and Carney, we were talking at the top of the show. We threw out a couple of topics because I really didn't know if either one of them anybody would have a strong opinion about, care about, or if they were something that we could talk about for over an hour on this radio show. One of those was the release, and you may have seen the emails or seen it on social media, just basically talking about something that I knew about and I assumed everybody knew about, the University of Nebraska employees, especially in the sports departments, whether it's Bo Pelini or Tim Miles or the hockey coach Dean Blaze at UNO or Daryl Morris and Rick Squires and Doug Christensen are on there from UNK, about I don't even call them perks. I think they're just really part of the job anymore. They get a vehicle to drive. And some of them have memberships to an athletic club or a golf course or something like that. And Doug and Carney says, it's not a big deal. Show me a college football coach who plays a lot of golf or is really a good golfer and spends a lot of time on the course, and I'll show you a soon-to-be unemployed football coach. His football teams will not be very good due to him spending too much time on the links. Yeah, maybe there's a few exceptions like Steve Spurrier, but that is a minority. Football coaches use it as a safe haven, in my opinion, to entertain football recruits and their parents, alumni, friends, and past football players. With today's environment of Twitter, Facebook, iPhones, and cameras everywhere, these coaches need these places to be able to relax with family and boosters away from the distractions of a public place. There should be disclosure with these public institutions, and I also know a lot of businesses pay for memberships to different clubs to support their employees in order to attract and retain key employees. Yeah, that's pretty much everything you said there, Doug, and even more is just stuff I guess I assumed day to day, take it for granted. your thoughts, let us know. Email us to the Dent Popper inbox. Thanks for the email, Doug. And you can email us, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can also tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. Facebook is at ESPN Superstation. And you can call us at 888-455-ESPN. Right now, let's give away some tickets to the Cornhusker Fall Classic. There's racing this Saturday and this Sunday at Kearney Raceway Park. Call now if you haven't won this week. We'll give you a pair of tickets, 888-455-3776. And then Chuck Long of the Big Ten Network. After the break.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on! Let the games begin.
Quality, knowledge, skill, value. That's Napa know-how. Stop into a Napa Auto Parts store or Napa Auto Care Center to experience some Napa know-how yourself. With more than 400,000 quality parts and 85 years of experience, yeah, there's good people in these parts. And they've got the know-how to know the right part you need. Now that you know, hurry into Napa and get some know-how yourself. Or go to Facebook.com/NapaKnowHow.
Hey, everybody, this is Coach, and I want all you tried-and-true college football fans to enter the AT&T Be the Fan sweepstakes. Tackle my weekly challenge, and you might be the fan who wins a VIP trip to ESPN College Game Day. Find out how you can win at attbethefan.com. AT&T, rethink possible.
No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. citizens and resident aliens of the 50 U.S. states or D.C. of the age of majority. Ends 11:59 p.m. Central Time, November 29th, 2013. Official rules at attbethefan.com. Void.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. Might see a shower or thunderstorm late in the day. Highs near 80. South winds at 12 to 25. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, partly to mostly cloudy. A low cooling towards 53.
Right now, 66.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hoping everything is relaxing in your world today. You know, right there, a little Coldplay. The clocks, they're relaxing. You watch them go tick, 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 back and forth. Yeah, there you go. Now you're on your Serta mattress from Bruce Furniture. Oh, maybe your Southern Motion, your Tempur-Pedic, Chromecraft. Oh, man, how relaxed are you right now? How great is that? Oh, you don't have one? You're stressed out, you don't have a Lane or a Lazy Boy recliner to sit in and read your book or watch your movie or listen to your favorite music, watch your favorite television programs. Oh, don't torture yourself. Bruce Furniture is there for you in Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance, and they're just right for you with free setup, free delivery, free haul away. And as we told you, the trusted brand names and, of course, the expert service after the sale. They've been around for 36 years, and it allows them to compete with big chains and quantity buying and freight charges, so you'll always get the low price. And just as important, Bruce Furniture continues to maintain the small-town, family-owned business attitude of taking care of each customer individually. Be sure to see the great folks at Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. Congratulations to our Cornhusker Fall Classic ticket winners at Kearney Raceway Park. Joel in Minden and Dave in Kearney. They pick up the tickets and enjoy the time, whether you go out Saturday or whether you go out Sunday. We know that you're going to have a great time out at Kearney Raceway Park. Coming up, Chuck Long of the Big Ten Network here in just a few minutes. Want to remind you that we've got the NFL game of the week on Thursday. The Bears and the Giants tonight, kickoff at 7:25. It's right here on ESPN. Nebraska women's basketball fans, this is pretty cool. You're going to get to see, gosh, and even if the Huskers get in, it'd be more cool, but Nebraska and Lincoln in the Pinnacle Bank Arena will be one of four regional sites. This is the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament, March 29th and April the 1st next year. Nebraska, one of the four sites, along with Notre Dame, Stanford, and Louisville. So instead of, say, putting it in a Denver, you know how this works, these regional sites, they've gotten them back to the local sites, try to get them on campus, maybe get a little more fan attendance. And obviously, let's face it, the four that they picked here are some of the highest attended spots for regular season college games that are out there. So mark that on your calendar. Nebraska will host that this upcoming season, regional basketball. And I know the Huskers are fired up about that. The men and women get their season underway here with some exhibition games at the end of the month. But Big Ten football is on the docket. And as we said at the top of the broadcast, there are four teams that are on the bye week, but there are still some quality football games going on this week, including Northwestern and Wisconsin after coming off the last two opponents, both playing Ohio State. Nebraska will hit the road for the first time. They go to Purdue, and sitting alongside Kevin Kugler in the Big Ten Network broadcast booth, former Iowa quarterback Chuck Long making his debut here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Mr. Long, thanks for the time. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's good to be on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Well, we are so pleased to have you on, and let's start with Iowa Hawkeye football. As an alum, we have, I mean, Tommy Frazier didn't like what was going on here about 3 weeks ago. You're one of the faces of Iowa football. What's going on with the Iowa Hawkeyes, and how is that sitting with you?
Well, I thought they were one of the most improved teams in the Big Ten starting out the year. You know, in their first four ball games, I thought they were playing as well as anybody in the league. And then they came up against Michigan State, and Michigan State has the best defense I've seen in a long time. I mean, they're obviously number one in the nation for a reason. But I think Iowa from last year to this year has really improved. You know, they have a young quarterback in Rudock who I think has made tremendous steps and grown since game one. He had a rough day. You know, they put the ball in his hand too much last game against Michigan State, and, you know, you don't want to do that again. It kind of fell into Michigan State's trap, you know, with a young quarterback. He was not ready for a team like that. And they only rushed it 16 times in the game, and I knew it's hard to, when your running game's not working early. I know as a former coordinator, it's easy to get away from the run game when you got to force yourself to go back to it. I think if Iowa gets back to their formula of running the ball first and throwing it second, or, you know, getting those rushes over 45 or 50 times a game and throwing off of that, I think they can, you know, they can do some damage. I do think moving forward, as I said before the season, I think their schedule's very tough. Iowa will have a better team this year than they did last year, but it may not reflect it in their one-loss record. I still believe if they can get to six games, that will be a good year for Iowa.
Yeah, we talked about that when we were breaking things down at the beginning of the year. The schedule makers did no favors for Iowa. For the folks that don't know, after this bye week, it's at Ohio State, Northwestern, Wisconsin, and then they still have to play Michigan and Nebraska at the end of the season. Let's get into some of the other Big Ten. What's impressed you so far? I know we're early on, but what's impressed you and stood out to you from any of these Big Ten schools?
Well, you got to start with Ohio State. You know, just the fact that they went undefeated last year and they're staying undefeated this year. I mean, that's remarkable. That's hard to do. And I don't look at them as a great football team. I think they're good. I do think they have some shortcomings right now, especially in their secondary, who's supposed to be an experienced secondary. But and they're doing it with two different quarterbacks, and Kenny Guyton and Braxton Miller, and they just continue to win, and they're winning close ones, all kinds of wins. They're finding a way to do it. But I think that's the most impressive thing right now. The rest of the league is up for grabs, to be honest with you, especially in the Legends division. I mean, that's going to be a fun race to watch from here on out. Wisconsin and Northwestern could be the second and third best teams in the league, and yet Wisconsin may lose their third game this week, and Northwestern might be 0-2 after this week after they play each other. So it's just weird how the schedules played out. But I think the Legends division is wide open. I think the Leaders division is Ohio State, basically. I think it's going to make for a good Big Ten race, especially in the Legends division. I think that'll go all the way down to the last game.
It's going to be a heck of a month in November. I don't think a lot of fans, especially on this portion of the country here in Nebraska, they're waiting for October to get over, survive these games against Illinois, Purdue, Minnesota, a couple of byes, South Dakota State. Really a lull in there for the Huskers. But before we drop the Ohio State thing, and I'm going to have Chuck Long on more because he's basically beating the drum that we talked about here. I think Ohio State loses a game this year in the conference, and they survived the last two. Outside of Michigan, is there Iowa, Penn State, Purdue, Illinois, Indiana? Which one of those five teams would give Ohio State the most problems matchup-wise?
Oh, I think you'd have to probably go with Indiana at this point, just because, you know, you look at Indiana's offense, and based on their game last year, you know, Ohio State had some problems with Indiana last year. I think the secondary problems that Ohio State's having right now, I don't know if that's a good matchup for them against Indiana. And I know people go, oh, wow, Indiana. Yeah, I think Indiana's come a long way. I think that Michigan game is obviously the big game, Michigan-Ohio State. Michigan has a chance to beat Ohio State. And I agree with you. I don't think Ohio State is going to go unscathed. I think there's a loss in there somewhere. It might be an upset loss, but I think there's a loss in there. And if they can go undefeated again, you got to give Urban Meyer all the credit. I mean, just the fact that you can go 2 years in a row of undefeated play, I mean, that's remarkable. He's a good coach, we all know that, but that puts him in the rarefied air to be able to do that.
Talking with Chuck Long, Iowa's all-time leading passer, and now with the Big Ten Network here on the Doug and Daddy Show. In our last segment, Chuck, we talked with Mike Carman from the Lafayette Journal-Courier, covers Purdue on a daily basis, and I just point-blank asked him, does he think Purdue is the 12th team right now in the conference? And he says, I think they are on their body of work right now, headed in the right direction, but quarterback change. You're getting ready for this contest on Saturday morning. What are you seeing out of Purdue?
Well, I see that too. I think they're at the bottom at this point, but you just never know in the Big Ten. You never know in college football. They're kids. They're 18-year-old kids, and you just don't know how they're going to be from one game to the next. And you know, I know in the past, in my experience, when you play a bottom type team, that's a dangerous week of practice. You know, the challenge for Bo Pelini and his staff is to get those kids, hey, you know, this team can beat anybody. And it's hard to convince teams of that just based on, you know, the kid looks at you and says, wait a minute, coach, they're at the bottom of the bottom of the heap. You know, they haven't done well. And so that's the challenge. It's more of a mental challenge than a physical challenge for your kids during the week to get them up for a team like Purdue. And you're on the road for the first time, so you haven't had that road trip yet. And that's all different. You know, the food's different. You're in a hotel. You're on the bus a lot. You know, Tommy Armstrong's is still a freshman. You know, his first road trip. Bo Pelini will be able to, you know, handle that. He's been to plenty, and he knows what to do. But it's all different. You're going into an environment. And a different environment in Purdue. But I think with Purdue, with Coach Hazel being his first year, I think he's in a start-over mode. He's getting all his guys in there right now and just, let's just play our guys and starting with the quarterback, and we'll grow with them with our system. So I don't know. Obviously, they want to win at Purdue, and they need to get some, but it's a matter of just growing with their team right now with Coach Hazel. He's going to have a honeymoon year this year, but he's looking at year two and year three.
Chuck, what do you think about Nebraska as far as on the field right now, even without Taylor Martinez?
Offensively speaking, I think they really didn't miss a beat. I watched the Illinois game. They're with Tom. I think Tommy presents great poise. What I liked about Tommy, there's a nice sequence. I think in the second or third series of the game, Nebraska was up 7-0 already. They're driving for their 14th point. And Tommy had a 2nd and 13 in the red zone and threw a high ball, overthrew a curl route, came right back on a 3rd and 13 and threw it to the flat. Didn't throw it past the chains. He took what the defense gave him in the red zone, knowing that he had 3 points in his pocket. Hey, I'm not going to take a sack here. He threw it to the flat. It got the first down, kept the drive alive. I thought that was really good growth out of a young quarterback, not to force the ball down the field. And then on a 3rd and 4 in the same drive, 3rd and 4 going in, he stuck a nice ball in there for a touchdown pass. It just shows me that the kid's heady. He's a competitor, and he has that it factor of getting in the end zone. And that was a nice series that I thought showed a lot of growth for a young freshman.
Talk with Chuck Long here for just another minute now with the Big Ten Network, but maybe more ties to answer a couple questions about Nebraska. Obviously played here in 82. Huskers played Iowa in 81 and 82. You coached with Turner Gill down at Kansas, which obviously that's probably a whole nother story. I guess I ask you, do you stay in touch with Turner? How's he doing?
I do. I stay in touch with him. He was great to work for. Very, very professional guy. Gave you a lot of leeway as a coach, and I think the world of him. He's very well organized, one of the most organized coaches I've been around, and I don't want to get into the Kansas deal. I thought they cut him short there. You need to give more time than 2 years. Of course, there's a change at the athletic director position there, and things happen. ADs want their own guy and all that, but I think Turner deserved more time there, and it's a place you need time. Kansas is not you need time to build something there. But anyway, life goes on, and he's at Liberty now and doing well.
And, of course, before that, being the head coach at San Diego State, you know all the pressures that go along with all of this and the passionate fan base here at Nebraska. What's your thoughts, not just necessarily about the tape that came out or the wins and losses, but your thoughts on Bo Pelini and how he has maybe matured or how he has grown as Nebraska's coach?
Well, I think he's grown a lot as a Nebraska coach, and I'm sure he's grown from that incident. Those are things that get out that are unfortunate. I do think Nebraska's fan base is one of the best in the country, without a doubt, very loyal. I remember when I was coordinating in Oklahoma, we'd roll into Nebraska, and they were the most courteous fan base ever been around. They'd say, "Welcome to Nebraska," and after it was all over, they if you won the game, say, "Hey, you guys played well. You guys had a great game. Congratulations." So, that goes all the way back to obviously to Devaney and Osborne. Coach Osborne built a great thing there, but I think Bo has embraced it. He knows the tradition of Nebraska. He knows that there's been national championships won there. And once a fan base has seen that and been a part of that, they know they can do it again. So that's the pressure of being the Nebraska head coach. But I do believe Bo Pelini has embraced that, knows that very well. Frustrations can happen with a coach. He's not alone. Every coach has gone through that. It's tough when it airs out and the laundry gets out in public, but I do believe he's grown from that incident. He's a good football coach. He's done a good job there. But at the same time, there's a lot of pressure to win it all there at Nebraska.
We'll be watching Saturday. He'll be in the booth with Kevin Kugler, hopefully getting more FaceTime than Kugler does. But Chuck Long with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chuck, thanks for taking some time out of your day, and it was a great chat. Hopefully we can do it again.
Well, it was great to talk with you. I hope to do it again as well.
Thank you, sir. Chuck Long, a great Iowa quarterback, and he's been all over the place. His name, when you talk football in the Midwest, you've heard it time and time again. Playing for Iowa, helping coach at Iowa. Then, of course, he was at Oklahoma, been with Turner Gill, San Diego State. Now here he is as a BTN analyst. So he's been everywhere. The player, the coach, the head coach, now an analyst. He's worn all the hats, basically, as far as it can go in college football. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question of the day, and then we're going to have Luke Hoover join us from RotoWire here on the Doug and Daddy Show to answer your fantasy football questions. Midtown Mark, so again, you can Facebook us, you can email us, and you can, of course, tweet us your fantasy football questions for Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Midtown Mark Cooler question brought to you by Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Our question yesterday, does Mac Brown need to win Saturday versus Oklahoma in order to save his job right down the middle? 55% yes, 45% said no, as far as Mac Brown needing to win. Our question for the day, as it is on Thursdays before Husker games, how do you think Nebraska fares Saturday against Purdue? The Huskers are favored by 14, and for the purposes of this poll, a half, 14 and a half. Vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. Will Nebraska cover the 14 and a half? Will they win and keep it under that spread, as Steve Sipple thinks, or will Nebraska get upset? Remember, back at Big Ten Media Days, and I think he was just trying to find a team, but Charles Davis from Fox said that this would be the game that Nebraska would have to keep their eyes open from, because it's the first road game and all the newness that Purdue would be throwing at you. What are your thoughts? Vote today on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com.
It's time for a fantasy football update with fantasy football expert Luke Hoover of RotoWire.com. Send in your fantasy football questions now and let Luke guide your fantasy team to a championship.
The knowledge is unbelievable. Fantasy Football Report brought to you by Fanatics, your fantasy football headquarters. During every Husker football game like this Saturday, don't miss the all-you-can-eat tailgate buffet. It's different every week. And, of course, free Wi-Fi to follow your fantasy football teams, whether it's Thursday night, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whenever they're playing, they're there for you with all the games on at Fanatics on the Bricks in downtown Kearney. Luke Hoover of RotoWire and RotoWire.com. Luke, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Man, I don't think you gave one piece of bad information the entire month of September. How does that make you feel?
Feels great. That sounds like it's questionable, but I appreciate the compliment.
Everybody has to survive injuries. I'm one of them. If you're in multiple leagues, you probably had Julio Jones. There's a variety of other guys out there that you can talk about. Take me through the key injuries and who you can pick up, and is, you know, like in Atlanta, is Harry Douglas actually going to be a big fantasy pickup? Take me through a couple of these other three injuries that are out there.
Sure. You know, I like, you know, if you have you're in a league that has a somewhat deeper bench, or, you know, if you were a Julio Jones owner, Harry Douglas is a name to target simply because Matt Ryan, you know, is that talented of a quarterback, and they're going to throw it enough, you know, especially with Steven Jackson still banged up, that Douglas will have some value. You might want to grab him now, even though they're on bye this coming week, just to make sure that you have him on your bench, because at some point they're going to need to target him a fair amount, and just on the volume of targets, he could be productive. You know, some of the other injuries that we saw, it's unfortunate because I think he was about to get going. He just got his first score of the year. It looks like David Wilson will be out for possibly a few weeks, and you know, that Giants backfield's a mess. I certainly wouldn't want to play any of those guys, and I wouldn't really even recommend adding Brandon Jacobs or Darrell Scott there in New York, you know, at the running back position. If he's still available, and it's unlikely that he is, but a name I like, and it could be, it's certainly going forward for the rest of the year, but Ryan Matthews might actually sit out with a concussion this coming week, just a name to watch. And Danny Woodhead, awesome PPR league, you know, statistics, but I think good in standard leagues this week as well, if Matthews sits.
We're talking with Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Let's get into your questions that are going on out there right now. And we will start with Terrence. I'm in a 14-team standard scoring league where 10 teams make the playoffs. When the news broke about Julio Jones, I offered James Jones and D'Angelo Williams for Roddy White and David Wilson. The other owner jumped on it like a starving man on a Christmas ham. On my part, was this trade A, stupidity, bold and visionary, or somewhere in between?
I'm going to opt for C and say somewhere in between. Roddy White is banged up. We already know Wilson's going to miss a few weeks. And Roddy White's on bye, so you traded for a guy you can't play this week, two guys, rather. And I think James Jones ultimately has more value than White. But you know what? Roddy's put up some huge numbers in the past. So once he's 100% healthy, he's going to see a lot of targets and be a huge part of that Atlanta offense. So you might end up winning out there at the receiver end. I don't think Wilson will ultimately outproduce Avito D'Angelo. But it's definitely a bold move.
All right. Let's go with this one. Touchdown only this week. Andy Dalton, RG3.
Definitely RG3. We saw, granted it was Peyton Manning in that Broncos offense, but we've seen Dallas's pass defense struggle this season at times as well. In fact, week one against Eli Manning, he had well over 400 yards on him. So, the Redskins are going to move the ball. They also have a good ground game, so RG3 is going to get some opportunities inside the red zone.
Let's go to Andrew. I need one of these three in a standard league: Eddie Royal, Steve Smith, T.Y. Hilton.
I would have to say Hilton, rather, sorry. After the week he just put up, against that Seattle defense, San Diego's one of the worst passing defenses in the league, as a matter of fact, so I think Hilton could have another big game.
Needs three of these four non-PPR league, 1, 2, 3, 4. So you're setting one of these: Marshawn Lynch, Doug Martin, Le'Veon Bell, Willis McGahee.
Well, you're definitely not sitting Lynch or Martin, and it's relatively close between McGahee or Bell, because Bell had a really great debut in his first game, but he's facing a very stiff Jets defense on the road, and McGahee just had well over 20 carries, a better matchup against Detroit. I'd probably give the slight edge to Bell because it's a better offense, and I think they move the ball more effectively than Cleveland does.
Thank you, Andy and Carney, for that. Let's go to Mark. Again, we're taking care of your fantasy football questions. Get them into us here at the Doug and Daddy Show. This is a standard scoring league. I have the option of flexing a wide receiver instead of starting a second running back. So he says, assuming Darren McFadden doesn't play, would you put Jordy Nelson or Pierre Thomas at that spot?
I would actually put Jordy Nelson in that spot, even if Darren McFadden does play. If he plays, he's going to be less than 100%. That's much, is almost a guarantee. And he's facing a very tough defense in the Chiefs on the road. I think Oakland struggles as an offense against that Chiefs defense, and Jordy Nelson's catching passes from Aaron Rodgers.
I think there's a lot of fantasy football teams and owners out there that struggle with what happened here in the last 2 weeks. I would be one of them. I don't have Pierre Thomas, but I do have Darren Sproles. Comes off one of the best games of his career, and then he's a non-factor because they just decide not to play him last week. Is there a reason for that?
No, that one's, that doesn't really have an explanation as far as I could see. Sproles is healthy. I haven't heard any reports otherwise. I think he's going to be a lot more involved, though, this week. The New England's pass defense has actually been pretty strong. Granted, they haven't played the best quarterbacks so far this year. But especially if Gronk's back and that offense for New England is moving the ball better, Drew Brees is going to have to throw it a lot. And they have to involve Darren Sproles in that. They know Pierre Thomas got a huge workload catching the ball this last week. But Sproles is too electric to, keep inactive that often. So.
Let's go to Mark says, since he needs a bye week replacement for Matt Ryan, do you go Alex Smith or Matt Schaub?
You know what? The Rams' defense has been pretty bad, but Schaub might just be one bad player interception away from seeing the bench. Just to play it safe, I'd go Smith, even though I'm not a big fan of the Raiders matchup.
This comes from Trent. I'm wondering whether I should drop E.J. Manuel or keep him. My other quarterback is Colin Kaepernick. There's not a lot out there for free agents. So do I pick up Thad Lewis, drop E.J., or try to make a trade?
Well, personally, I'd see if there was a way to upgrade through a trade if strong at other positions. I certainly wouldn't add Thaddeus Lewis. I just don't see him having all that much success. He's only got one career start, and he was okay last year in a game against Pittsburgh. But he's probably not a very good option, even though Kaepernick's struggling. I'd hang on to Manuel or make a trade.
Let's go to our Twitter account here, at ESPN 1460 1550 for Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Jason wants to know, I need to start three, and it looks like he's going to give you five options. This is pretty good crew here, by the way, Jason. He's got Pierre Garçon, Antonio Brown, Eric Decker, Dwayne Bowe, Alshon Jeffrey. Which three would you go with?
Well, Pierre Garçon is going to play that. The Dallas defense has just gave up a ton of yards, and the Redskins are going to have to throw it because Dallas can also score. Washington's defense is terrible. Garçon's number one to me. Alshon Jeffrey, I don't see benching given his recent play. Certainly he's going to draw more attention from the Giants, but he's just playing too strong. And I would probably go with Antonio Brown in that last spot. I don't trust Dwayne Bowe right now. Too inconsistent, just not getting the ball that often. And, Big Ben is going to have to throw it quite a bit, and Brown's seen a ton of targets lately.
Also, Kellen asks, who do you start as your second running back, Bilal Powell or Willis McGahee?
That one is pretty close. Bilal Powell, though, looks like he's in somewhat of a timeshare now that Mike Goodson's returned from suspension and Chris Ivory is healthy enough to see the field. So I'd give McGahee the nod. Like I said before, I don't think Cleveland's going to move the ball that well on Detroit. But McGahee had well over 20 carries last week. He'll probably see a relatively similar workload.
From the Facebook page, Scott has a trade question for you. Demaryius Thomas and Marcus Colston for Vernon Davis and T.Y. Hilton. Your thoughts?
If he is getting Demaryius Thomas, I would absolutely make that trade. If the discussion is trading him for Vernon Davis and T.Y. Hilton, there's no way I would do that.
So you want Thomas and Colston, Scott.
You want as many Broncos as you can have.
Okay. There's a trade here. First, Vincent Brown or Harry Douglas. Who's got the most positive going forward between those two?
They're really very, very close, almost a coin flip, because Vincent Brown finally showed up a little this last week, had over 100 yards, and both quarterbacks have the talent to put up huge numbers, Rivers and Matt Ryan, but each guy has sort of been on the periphery, not really putting up numbers or being all that involved. I'd give the slight nod to Vincent Brown because Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez are going to dominate targets once White's healthy.
Okay, so this would be the second part of the question from Chris and Carney. Trade. Give away Lamar Miller, Vincent Brown, and Fleener, tight end from Indy. In return, get Giovanni Bernard and Matt Schaub.
Well, if he needs some quarterback help, I like that trade for the most part. I think Brown will have nice games, but real inconsistent, so you won't really have many opportunities to start him. Miller, likewise, has been terribly inconsistent. Bernard, I think, will become better each week. I like Bernard's upside a lot.
Let's see. This person needs to pick up a free agent. He goes, there's five of them available. Which two would you recommend? Pierre Thomas, New Orleans, Zach Stacy, St. Louis, Powell of the Jets, Jacquez Rogers, Atlanta, David Wilson, Giants. Apparently they're all available. Which two would you take?
For me, it's got to be either Powell or Stacy. Oh, you said two that he needs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go with Powell and Stacy most likely. Powell, like I said, even though he's in it looks like a bit of a committee right now, I really don't trust Chris Ivory to stay healthy the entire year, and he's run really well when he was the lead back. Mike Goodson's also had his share of injuries in the past, and that's an offense that's going to have to run it to keep, Geno Smith from maybe going into disaster mode. And Zach Stacy looks like the starter to me in St. Louis, and they've run the ball pretty bad so far this year, but Stacy has the ability, he could turn that around a little bit for them.
Merritt says, I need to sit one of these three wide receivers. Who would you sit? A.J. Green, Demaryius Thomas, T.Y. Hilton, Pierre Garçon.
Wow, that is a really tough call because they're all very talented receivers. You can't sit A.J. Green, even though he's struggled so far this year. You can't sit Demaryius Thomas, as I mentioned. You're going to play all your Broncos every week. And I would give a slight nod to to Pierre Garçon, because even though T.Y. Hilton's really explosive and capable of a huge game, he doesn't generate the targets those other three guys do.
All right. Well, I think we've got through. Have we got through everything right now, Jeffrey? I think we've got through everything. So we'll have another minute here with Luke Hoover of RotoWire and ask the standard Thursday question here. Who's the stud you set, and who's that guy that's going to hit a home run this week?
Well, the stud you set is pretty easy now. Unfortunately, he hasn't been a stud yet this year. He's coming off his best game, but Chris Johnson in Seattle, not a big fan. Ryan Fitzpatrick has had his share of turnover problems in the past, and I don't see that offense moving the ball particularly well in Seattle. You know, that defense is going to be pretty angry coming off their first loss. As far as the stud that you are definitely playing this week, he was terrible in his last outing, but he's coming off his bye, and I like Doug Martin to bounce back against Philly. You know, their defense hasn't slowed down too many teams this year. He even gave up 20 to the Giants, so I like Doug Martin this week.
All right, that Thursday night game once in a while throws a curveball at some folks. Got to remember to get your guys either in or out of the lineup. Alshon Jeffrey has the best game of his career last week. Could be overreaction, especially now that they play tonight. Is that a guy you need to have in your lineup?
You know what? I'd look at him as a borderline number two wide receiver for the time being. Brandon Marshall isn't 100% healthy right now. He's still going to be involved and definitely get targets, but it's very clear the chemistry that, you know, Cutler and Jeffrey are building. And Jeffrey's actually similar type of receiver to Marshall, the size, athleticism, very strong hands. I don't see him slowing down a ton. I mean, certainly not going to put up 200 yards and a score, but he could be a very consistent play.
And where are we at? We've had questions about C.J. Spiller, I think, every week until now. Where are we at with Spiller and Fred Jackson in Buffalo?
Well, that one is a really, really tough situation, primarily because now E.J. Manuel is not going to be in there, so teams can completely stack the box until they prove that they can throw the ball. And you're also dealing with, you know, injuries to their top wide receiver. Steve Johnson left last week with a back injury. He entered the game with a hamstring injury that had him questionable, so he's pretty banged up. And there's not that many options behind him. You've got a rookie, Robert Woods, is their number one right now. Without a passing game, those two guys can really struggle. You know they're going to get the ball a fair amount, though. This week, I hate the matchup against Cincinnati. That defense, you know, completely shut down New England's offense last week. But, again, we saw Spiller can break a big run at any moment, even on a gimpy ankle. You know, it's hard to say you're going to have many better options than either of them. But they're very risky starts. I wouldn't feel comfortable.
And the last question of the week for Luke Hoover, Maurice Jones-Drew owners. He's playing on the most horrific football team that maybe has been invented since the 76 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Do you keep him? And if you do you play him? What's his trade value?
Hey, right now his trade value is on name recognition alone. It's very low. I would hang on to him. Just put him on your bench for now. You're not going to ever – I mean, you could be surprised, even myself, on my bench in every league when he, you know, had about a dozen points against Seattle. I think he had a little over 60 total yards and a touchdown. You know, can't expect too much out of him, though. You're probably not going to get better than 50, 60, 70 yards tops most weeks. Not that many touchdowns. Just try to be patient. He has one big game. Maybe you start to shop him.
All righty, Luke. Always appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again next Thursday. Thanks for the time.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
Folks, you can follow Luke and all of the great folks at RotoWire on rotowire.com, not just for football, but all of your fantasy sports needs. And don't forget to take part in our Doug and Daddy Fanatics Fantasy Football Challenge. It's free weekly prizes, and winners are entered into a drawing at the end of the year for a Super Bowl party for you and your friends from Fanatics. Each week, the winner gets a $25 gift card to Fanatics. Second place gets a free large pizza at Fanatics. It's free to sign up for, and you can put in a different team every week with a floating salary cap. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com and click on the Fanatics Fantasy Football Challenge. We'll be back to wrap it up after this.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I'm Brian Wallace, Navy Federal Credit Union member, and this bad boy is my Jayhawk helicopter. That's 1,560 horsepower engines. Of course, my daily ride's a bit more comfortable. Got it with a Navy Federal auto loan. Nice folks, great rate. way easier to park.
4 million members, 4 million stories. Open to everyone in the armed forces, the DOD, and their families. Navy Federal Credit Union. Visit NavyFederal.org for details. Federally insured by NCUA.
You're in your car, and when you brake, the nose dives. A lot. And diving means longer stops. Longer stops mean bad news for little old ladies crossing the street. So you turn into AutoZone to get the shocks and struts you know you need to keep your car stopping on a dime. No little old lady hood ornament for you.
Right now, get an AutoZone gift card worth up to $125 when you buy 4 qualifying Gabriel shocks and struts. Restore your car's handling and get a gift card. Get in the zone. AutoZone. See store for restrictions.
Jerseys has all the games you want to see for the season. Get to Jerseys on Husker game days. Free Jello shots for everyone when the Huskers score a touchdown. Beer and lots of food specials. Jerseys has the full NFL package and offers $3 Bloody Marys all day long. And the best bucket prices in town. Remember, there are specials every night at Jerseys. Happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Jerseys Sports Bar and Grill, located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, North Kearney, where the game and the grill are always on.
Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation of the Midway Auto Dealership Broadcast Booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, continuing to update their website at thinkmidway.com. But Midway on their Facebook site has all kinds of exciting offers for you. They're giving away Tri-City Storm hockey tickets and parking passes throughout the year. Oil changes there. Who doesn't need that? You can take care of that at Midway. They'll have it all going on throughout the storm season on their Facebook page. Just go to Think Midway on Facebook and like them. You'll get all kinds of great deals should you need them. Now, folks, don't forget, they've got a great selection of pre-owned vehicles. Going to get close to winter time. Maybe you need something a little bit better to get you through the Nebraska winter. How about a new Ram or Chevy Silverado? You can save up to $10,000 on a Ram or $8,600 off the Chevy Silverado. If you need something to buzz around in, how about the new Sonic starting at under $15,000? Check it all out at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway, it's a better way. Well, we talked about UNK football schedule. The MIAA has put out their composite schedule, and so I guess you can kind of check things out on the MIAA website as far as what's going on out there. As far as UNK, they haven't officially released anything and probably won't until the spring. But with the new schedule, we talked about this, that Lincoln University and Southwest Baptist, which traditionally and record-wise are two of the bottom dwellers in the conference, somehow finagled a way to work it out with the Great Lakes Valley Conference to play football in their conference, because I guess some of the teams are closer, and still stay in the MIAA in other sports. And we told you that was only going to make UNK's schedule and everybody's schedule, it was going to make it tougher, because now you play everybody. There's 5 teams in the top 25, so you play everybody in the conference, and next year they will start off with the best team in the conference, Northwest Missouri State on the road. Whether it's a Thursday or a Saturday game is yet to be determined, but the first 3 games are Northwest Missouri State, Washburn, and Missouri Southern. Right now, those 3 teams in the MIAA conference-wise are 13-1. The last 2 games are against Missouri Western and Emporia State. Then in between, you've got Central Missouri, Central Oklahoma, Northeastern State, Lindenwood, Pittsburgh State, Fort Hays State. And only one of those has a winning record at this point this year. And that can always change. So it'll again be a tough start next year. But after going to Northwest Missouri, then the Lopers will play Washburn and Missouri Southern at home. And thanks to Gabe for pointing that out. 6 home games for the Lopers next year, but their toughest games will all be on the road, it would appear, with Northwest Missouri, Pittsburgh State, and Missouri Western. Hastings volleyball fell to Midland yesterday, the 7th-ranked team in the country. The soccer teams swept Nebraska Wesleyan. Grand Island football tonight at Lincoln North Star. District softball is underway. Games going on for Kearney. They play this afternoon out at Millard. For Grand Island, they're hosting the
A1 or A6, excuse me, that gets underway at 4 o'clock. The B5 just underway at the Smith Softball Complex in Hastings. The C6 is going on over at Gothenburg. Volleyball tonight, Lincoln Northeast is at Grand Island. Hastings is at Aurora. Kearney Catholic's at Ravenna. Adams Central welcomes in Ord and Arcadia Loop City for a triangular. And live on Classic Hits 98.9, we've got a Fort Kearney Conference triangular from Amherst. They've got Axtell and Pleasanton coming in, and that will start at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, Nate Klaus from Husker Online will join us to discuss the latest Husker recruiting news as part of our TNL recruiting update. Jimmy Langan will be in as our co-host. Once again, we'll do our pigskin pick'em, and we'll see if he can bounce back from his roughest college selection weekend of the season. He's still way above 500. We'll see if he can bounce back with his selections, plus our pigskin pick'em tomorrow, and many other guests. It is going to be a great Friday of high school football on the field. If the weather holds out, we're going to see some great matchups. We want to thank Mike Carmen of Lafayette Journal and Courier for joining us today to talk Purdue football. Former Iowa quarterback and Big Ten Network analyst Chuck Long for talking a little football with us, and Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Folks, have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow right here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.